is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan, Pakistan, the jihad. I welcome my colleagues, Bill Rajo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. And Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. Gentlemen, I begin with things that explode in Kabul. Bill, an attack at a Kabul mosque in these last days left many dead and wounded. This is a worshippers traveling to a mosque, as is the routine on Friday throughout the Islamic world. The Taliban official condemns, not characterizing this attack as unusual, mentioning ISIS with no firm claim by ISIS. We were told the Italian emergency hospital, one of Kabul's few clinics, treated victims, said it received 14 casualties from the site, four dead. ISIS, Bill, reminds me that recently you and a colleague filed a story about ISIS in the world continuing to operate. And I believe that the so-called Khorasan province, which includes Afghanistan, is one of the major nodes for ISIS. Is that correct? And what to make of ISIS in these demonstrations against the Taliban? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, so the Islamic State's Khorasan province is certainly one of the more vibrant of the Islamic State's what they call provinces. It has the ability to conduct these high-profile attacks, particularly in and around Kabul. The Islamic State Khorasan province is estimated to have several thousand fighters in its ranks, mostly disaffected Afghan and Pakistani Taliban members and some former members of Al-Qaeda. But you have to compare its manpower and its reach compared to that of the Taliban Al-Qaeda alliance, which the Taliban itself claims to have 150,000 men under arms. I suspect that number is actually higher if you include their informal militias. And Al-Qaeda and its allied groups have thousands. But the Islamic State, it's persistent. The Taliban, while the Islamic State doesn't control any territory in Afghanistan, it's still able to maintain these networks, and those networks cross over into Pakistan, where they get some support for some very radical in jihadi circles, Pakistani terror groups like the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi, which is very anti-Shia. And these are a lot of the attacks that the Taliban are carrying out there that they're able to hit. In this particular case, I've seen reports of 7 killed and over 40 wounded. There was a car bomb that was placed outside of a mosque in central Kabul. And the Islamic State is able to carry out an attack like this once a week, once every other week, sometimes twice a week. And it chips away at the legitimacy of the Taliban, but I don't think it's a direct threat to Taliban control.
ISIS, however, I learned from your Generation Jihad, it's a podcast on Bill's site, ISIS has strength in Africa, a growing strength. Is that accurate, Bill?
Yeah, I would estimate that Africa is its strongest region where the Islamic State's fighting, particularly in Central and West Africa and the Sahel. The Islamic State has very vibrant operations in those areas, and it's spreading. It's competing with Al-Qaeda in some areas. It's more dominant in some areas. Al-Qaeda's branches there have the upper hand. But I would say that for the jihad in general, that Africa is the one where business is booming.
Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. Your observations in a forthcoming book about the jihad, which is a generic term for disorder throughout the Ummah, throughout the Islamic world, but extending into the non-Islamic world. These activities, a car bomb in Kabul, or we will speak of the Shabab in Somalia, they look like different operations, different organizations with different ambitions. How do you measure the effectiveness and also the information that it conveys to the Islamic world? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The first thing that I would say is that Western commentators often look upon jihadi groups, even at Al-Qaeda, which was responsible for the 9/11 attacks, from Western perspective. So we assume that these are hierarchical organizations, that they will always be organized, and they will have an objective very similar to a political organization or even a disruptive organization in the West. These These are slightly different. They take inspiration from an ideology that has cropped up every few centuries, few decades in the Muslim world, which is about purification of Muslim societies, making them more pious, while at the same time trying to create Islamic states. And while there is the notion of a universal Islamic state, which is the caliphate, there is also the notion of local Islamic states, which is an emirate. And so while they may sometimes disagree with each other on ideological purity, they may disagree with each other on tactics and strategy, they all have the commitment to jihad in common. And in many cases, even after disagreement, when it comes to dealing with the non-believers, they find some common ground. So these groups as ideological entities will continue to exist long after they have stopped existing as a military force. And so just dealing with the military force part, but not understanding that they have the capacity to regenerate themselves, and as long as they have access to arms and the ability to train people militarily, they will keep resurfacing in different parts of the world, is something that sometimes defies Western analytical methods. But just the elimination of bin Laden and al-Zawahiri doesn't mean the end of al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda as an idea can reappear somewhere else. Think of it as a franchise which is not officially granted but can emerge, and then a new group resuscitates itself. There are movements in Islamic history that have kept themselves alive for 2, 3, 4 centuries, even though the authorities managed to crush them in one place and then they would really crop up in another.
Mr. Ambassador, the story I can recall some decades ago at the beginning of this so-called long war, the Long War Journal keeps the long war, the struggle across the Ummah from the Hindu Kush to the Mediterranean and onto the Atlantic. The story I remember is that the U.S. developed resources in Saudi Arabia, and that irked, irritated, upset, shattered assumptions about the kingdom of the two mosques. And that led to Al-Qaeda's creation after the success in Pakistan, and operating out of Pakistan into Afghanistan. And it was the U.S. presence that irritated, that created the recruiting. Is that story only partially true? In other words, am I looking too specifically at events and not in what you say is in a cyclical nature of turmoil?
I think that it is a very narrow view, a very specific view, looking at immediate causes. Look, the slogan of jihad has been invoked many, many times in Islamic history. Jihad actually means a struggle, but historically it was a struggle to defend. And then some people developed the idea that it can also be used for offense. And Al-Qaeda is, let us say that Al-Qaeda is the most modern incarnation of that in a relatively modern time, and therefore it looms large in our consciousness. But there were minor jihad movements in Indonesia, in North Africa, in South Asia that have cropped up and sometimes challenged Muslim rulers, saying that they are not being religious or Islamic enough. So the Al-Qaeda model is a relatively new model of getting people from everywhere, gathering them in South Asia, which was facilitated by the war against the Soviet Union. If you remember, everybody came into Pakistan to fight in Afghanistan. And then when they dispersed, they realized that their cause had to be kept alive. They gathered again, and Al-Qaeda was born. ISIS was born out of the turmoil after the invasion of Iraq by the United States. There will be if Al-Qaeda is modern jihad 1.0, ISIS is modern jihad 2.0, there will be jihad 3.0. Where it manifests, how it manifests, and how much success it has will depend on a number of circumstances. And Bill Roggio and his group are doing a very good job of keeping track of everything. Right now, you are seeing more action in Africa. There could be more action somewhere else down the road.
Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. Bill Roggio, keeping the Long War Journal for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. When we come back to Africa, to Shabab, to Somalia, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.